What's up, ladies and gentlemen of YouTube? Boogie 298 coming at you again through the power of the LOLCOW podcast. With me, as usual today, is the ever-friendly Tommy C. and the one and only near-death Jordy Jordan, Wings Over
Division. Yeah.
And today, I love that voice. And today, a special guest, Chud Logic. Chud Logic, glad to have you here, my friend.
Hello.
It's exciting
pleasure
to
be here.
Join the show.
Pleasure to meet you both.
We do have a sponsor for this episode, by the way. I'm really excited about this, but let me go ahead and give them a little bit of a shout out. This is, I'm holding in my hand right now, Appa Orange, and I'm going to crack this open and pour it. Would you like to read that first paragraph for me while I prepare my delicious beverage?
Me? All right.
Oh, can I read it?
Yes.
No, you can't talk yet.
Listen, I'll read the... Can I read? I do this all the time.
Do it. Here we go. Ready?
Nice English accent.
Okay.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
Are you craving a bubbly burst of massive, juicy flavors? Well, good news. The guys over at Tentacle Grape have come up with a brand new flavor. It's called Opie Orange. If you're like Jordy and like them big and beautiful, then this is the soda for you. This lightly carbonated soda will fill your mouth with soft, sweet orange flavors, ready to smother you in pure bliss. If you pledge to the Kickstarter now, you'll not only get a mouthful of massively pleasing flavor, but it will come with this Kickstarter exclusive label.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and tell you, the soda is really good. It's very fruity. I'm more of a Mountain Dew guy. We all know that. But this actually got my attention, not just because of the big tits on the label. Here's the thing. There's big tits on this label. It is a Kickstarter, but the good news is you're not going to waste your money because this is already funded. This company has made several different flavors. They had a Futanari Punch, which is a flavor I think you can still get. Tentacle Grape, which is another one you can get. If you're one of these weeaboos that watch the show and you want to go over there and get yourself some delicious soda with a special Kickstarter-only label, this is your chance to do it. And since they're in the bonus stage, you can get stuff like 3D posters and mouse pads and other crazy stuff that you'll get shipped along with your order. If you decide to go over there and pledge, by the way, we're going to get $5 for every person that goes over there and pledge. So you'll be supporting the show and you'll get your mouthful of delicious, bubbly orange soda. Get crushed with flavor with Opie Orange.
God, I hope they have it in Germany. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, it's really solid. It tastes a lot like a Japanese soda to me. It's kind of like the more mild flavor
No food!
We have a guest!
Okay, now listen, I've got an idea for the next flavor. Clearly they're going down the degen route. The next flavor could be lolly lemon, perhaps. Lollicon lemon.
Ooh. Vosh will buy that out. You know Vosh. Tipster, they'll all be all over it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mm. So, Chud, how have you been, my friend? How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain. Things are going pretty good.
For the people who don't know you, give them a quick rundown. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Sure. So I'm Chud Logic. I'm a streamer, YouTuber, stream on Twitch and Kick as well. So check me out there if you want to see my stuff. I mainly cover drama content these days. I kind of transitioned from politics content a little while ago to mainly covering drama stuff now. My signature segment that I do is probably review.
What involves a review?
So a review, it kind of says it on the tin, really. We review a... So if there's some sort of allegation that comes out on the internet of
allegation, John, that sounded really crazy.
Yeah, that's way...
that does sound bad. To be fair, it can get a bit into that because it's like, okay, so the woman claims this happened. You know, what's the actual nature of the claim that's being made? Is it a rape? Is it a sexual assault? Is it just an awkward sexual moment?
So you covered the Minecraft guy, right?
What's that, sorry?
Yeah, like the guy who like tickled the girl in a hotel room. Did you cover that?
Yes, I covered that extensively. Yes, absolutely. So I've got quite a few takes on that. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, it was absurd, an absurd allegation.
I've always had an opinion. I'm curious, since this is what you do for a living, if you back it up or you think I'm completely wrong. But I think the women that exaggerate what happened to them, the women that falsely accuse people, the people that come forward with like no evidence, don't even bother trying to gather anything, these women are making it drastically difficult for actual victims to come forward. I'm sure you got to agree with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the problems that you have is that someone will come forward with extremely embellished allegations and... there's multiple things that happen. But one thing that, particularly with the Katie Bug situation, the Minecraft thing, is that Katie Bugs said, don't go to the police, because what's the point? They never do anything, to paraphrase a bit, you know? And that's like the worst possible advice that you can give to someone is don't go to the police, because they're the one group that you would want to go to actually deal with the situation. And if someone's committed a crime and committed an assault or rape, they'll get them off the streets, you know? So
for the rest of us.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
Do
you find that's an excuse? Because that's the one I run into, like, when some of these allegations, and not all these allegations are false, I want to make that clear. And certainly if you find a true allegation.
Tommy, come on. Most of them online are bullshit. Can we cut to
the
chase?
Most of them online are bullshit, but I'm trying to be a little bit fair here. Most of the ones, well, think about it. If they're true, the cops get it and the story's over. When they're false or they're shady or they go right to YouTube before they go to the police, that's when somebody like you comes in. Because they're usually they're easily picked apart.
To be clear, okay, I don't think myself as a good guy doing this. This is for content and money, okay? Any benefit beyond that is secondary, you know.
You want to make money? What?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the primary reason I do it. It's funny. It makes money. You know,
clicks, views, clout, all that. Right? Yeah. Of course. But
my original question, though, is this seems to be a common excuse when these allegations come under the microscope. It's like, I didn't go to the police because the police never do anything anyway. This is not the Mama Max was not the first time I heard that excuse. It seems to be pretty common. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, that is very common. I think there's a perception that's been spread now that the police are totally useless in these situations and never do anything, which is obviously absurd. I mean, of course.
It's not that far from absurd.
What do you mean?
Well, I've never been right before. But
have you ever raped?
No. Okay. I've never done anything in that situation.
Okay.
But when you go to police with like online stuff, like I've been harassed by people from online multiple times. Like example, like Craigslist ads, people sending people from TikTok to my house to fight me and things of that nature. When you go, hey, there's a guy on TikTok saying I'm going to, you know, beat his daughter up and he happens to be a drill sergeant and he comes to my house wanting to fight me. Police was like, wow, I don't know what to do about this. Let me send you to some specialty department.
It's a completely different situation, Wings. We're talking about somebody who made an allegation versus somebody who gets repeated online harassment via a thing. It is completely a different thing.
Yeah.
No.
But also,
I think you misunderstood. Showed up to the house to beat me up.
Right.
Okay. I mean, okay. Even
that sounds like the police should step in there. Right. But a lot of harassment. Yeah. In America, I'd imagine harassment's got quite a high standard to the First, you know, 'cause of the First Amendment. So sure. You probably need to cross quite big lines for it to constitute harassment.
Actual harassment is repeated usually 3, 4, 5 times. Yeah.
It's like this Minecraft thing. I look at this Minecraft chick as like, that's just a cloud chase. That's all that was.
Well, I mean, there's actually a very in-depth theory that I've thought of with this. And there's basically two warring factions of the Minecraft community. You've got people that are in the UK in a place called Brighton. They're all queer or something, some variation of queer. And then you've got the American dream people. And it's kind of like this kind of war almost of allegations between the two. So I think that there is some truth in that. And I think the other thing that happened as well is it happened to her. And, you know, she probably felt a bit awkward about it afterward because she was drunk and stuff. But I think her friends around her spoke to her and, you know, kind of gassed her up and was like, no, it was really bad, actually. This is like assault and you should talk about it, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's something that happens with online allegations. They all get in a Discord and talk about it. And before you know it, an awkward touch becomes sexual assault or rape because of the conversation.
So you think it's like maybe she told a story like, oh, you'll never believe what that jerk did. And that turns into, you were assaulted and you didn't do anything about it. You got to do something about it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not like they blow it in an awkward situation. Maybe one unwanted contact. And that's turned into like you go from jerk to, felon in a finger snap.
It's the excesses of Me Too, I think, is what we're seeing now. That's the era that we're in. I don't know if you followed this recently, but there was a comic book guy called Ed Piskor, a woman who is now in her 20s. Came forward and made allegations that Ed had been inappropriate with her in DMs when she was 17. Now, the DMs are a bit creepy, but there was nothing illegal. There was no conversation about sex or anything like that happened. And it turned into this big online firestorm to the point where journalists were like going to his father's house to ask about it. Long story short, this Ed Piskor guy decided to take his own life So he's dead now off the back of these allegations. And, you know, I've been very sort of, you know, pissed off about it because it fucking sucks. And,
well, in this case, too, the police were notified and they told flat out there's no crime here. Is that correct? Because that's what I was understanding. The Ed Pesker situation, this stuff was actually for a change, was taken to the police. It's no crime.
I don't know if the police were notified. I saw there was in the news interview, they spoke to a lawyer and they said that because of the age of consent in the states involved, there was no crime that was committed. Even if there was a sexual conversation, which there was.
Then I'm right for the wrong reason, is what you're saying.
Sure. I mean, that's obviously a defense lawyer's perspective. But, you know, just looking at the messages, I'm not a legal expert, but I don't see what you could possibly prosecute this guy on because it's not illegal to be a bit weird and creepy in DMs, you know? And it seemed that his conversation was more so a friendly tone, offering a hand, you know, up a sort of leg up in the comics community, not for any favors, just as a friendly gesture. And that got twisted into him being, you know, a sort of predator, a groomer, a pedophile even, which is obviously absurd.
He got Andy Signored, in a sense. Have you heard about that situation?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the extremity that people go to now where it's like, you can't just be a bit creepy. You have to be a groomer or a pedophile or some sort of other crazy term. And you know, these words are like insane and they carry a very heavy sort of reputational stain. But people use them so frivolously online now to the point where, you know.
Do you know anything about that, Wings?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Wings sounds like Sling Blade.
Yeah. Y'all got any French fried taters in there?
Yeah, exactly.
Go and give me the biggin.
So going back to the Kate Burke situation, it's kind of an interesting point on that because now they've developed a way to make it that 18-year-olds are basically children now. So in the Katie Bug situation, she referred to herself as freshly 18, despite the fact she was 6 months into being 18. So she wasn't even freshly 18.
But freshly 18 never will become an adult.
And the idea obviously is that, well, I'm only just turned 18, so I'm basically a child. Another terminology is this idea of a post-minor. So someone that's 18, 19, 20, 21 is a post-minor, not actually an adult yet. You know, these are just absurd standards these people are setting to problematize further these relationships, you know?
It's so weird because I couldn't wait to turn 18. I couldn't wait to become an adult when I was a kid. And it does seem that the generation below me tries to hang on to childhood as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, well into their mid-20s.
Like yeah, 20, 30s.
Wow. Yeah, people keep telling me that
I wanted to get out and I couldn't. I would have left that day if I could have. Yeah. But I couldn't financially do it when the day I turned 18. I would love to leave and have my own life. I don't see that kind of motivation.
Well, I think a lot of it, Tommy, is they can't afford a place to live at 18.
Yeah. I think that's a part of it, too. I totally agree with you. But there's also a lack of desire. I had the same problems. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of kids my age had those problems, too. Not as much as they do today, admittingly. But I still wanted out. I still wanted to be an adult.
I think it's used as a bit of a trap. Because the thing is now is that at the time, the 18-year-old doesn't feel like they're a minor, doesn't feel like they're freshly 18. You know, they're at a party drinking. Like they want to be there. Yeah. They want to be in the mix and they want to be having fun and getting drunk at 18. But later on, when they can pivot and change their story to become a victim, all of a sudden they're freshly 18, just out of high school, never been touched, never been kissed, you know, to kind of make themselves out to be much younger than they are. I mean, it's absurd. Yeah. And look, this might be a controversial take, but, you know, I think... The woman in the
episode. I know some gentlemen that are 25 that they've been touched and kissed.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really work the same way for men, I don't think. I don't think an 18-year-old man would be able to say, oh, I'm freshly 18. They'd be considered a man in full, wouldn't they? You know?
Yeah, only women. Well, you know why? Because the Muslims are right. Women need escorts wherever they go. They don't have agency, and they need people to direct them in times like this. They shouldn't be allowed to drink. They should be covering up modestly. The Muslims are right about everything. And if we just did what they told us, then nobody would have a problem. Women don't have agency. That's what I learned from that situation, Judd. Do you agree?
Well, listen, I'm not going to agree with a Muslim, for starters, okay? I'm in the UK, so I've got to be careful with that.
The reality of it is, though, if I may, if you're an American woman and the day you turn 18, you can do what that bad Barbie girl did, which is make $1 million on OnlyFans on the day you turn 18, right? You can. That's a very adult decision you're allowed to make. Another adult decision you're allowed to make is take out $180,000 worth of student loans to saddle yourself with the rest of your life. You can also sign up as an adult woman the day you turn 18 for the American Army and be dead in the ground 6 months later serving for your country. If you can do all of that, as I always say, I know it's disfavorable, But I think you get to take a load from the man of your choice if you can take a bullet for Uncle Sam. That's I just had a thought.
Like the baby situation. Do you think she made content prior to becoming 18 and had it ready for the 18th year?
Certainly.
On the topic of porn, okay, Mia Khalifa has pulled this move, okay? So she's got a fucking absolute catalogue of getting fucked every which way, gang-banged, cream-eyed, on all this other shit, right? And then what she does is she sets up an OnlyFans, okay, and puts content into the OnlyFans, and then she says, oh, by the way, guys, all of that old content that I did, I was getting raped, abused, I didn't want to do it, I was forced by the industry, and all this other rigmarole. And she basically tries to say that you are being unethical if you watch that old content, because now you've got to watch the OnlyFans, because that's...
That'd be a lie, things. Though.
Right,
I'm, like, that, I'm sure,
yeah.
I'm sure it was the paid stuff. You might not know this, but I was up for being in a porn at one point on PK.
Were you giving me the cock hole or something? Was that what it would be?
No. Like back with FBS boot camp in like 2014, the idea is I'd go in, I'd lose 40 pounds, and I was going to get paid $5,000 by this porn company to fuck an actress of my choice, and I've kind of chickened out on it.
Well, the thing is, I've made some content about the OnlyFans kind of phenomenon, and as much as I think not getting is probably good for a woman, by the same token, these OnlyFans girls don't make that much money on the whole. You get the very top end that make a living out of it, but the vast majority only make like $200 a month or something like that, top end.
Yeah, I have a meme OnlyFans, and I'm in the top 13% of OnlyFans creator, it tells me. And I don't know if that's just like something they put on there to make you feel good, but if that's true, that means anybody less than 13% is making less than $250 a month. Because I took home $250 last month.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, a woman thinks, oh, I can make money out of that. They see the adverts. They see that, oh, I bought a house with my OnlyFans money, put pictures of the f***ing asshole on the internet, and then make a few hundred dollars a month, and then that's online forever. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. Sucks. But hey, admittedly,
I know a hooker over here, and she said she got into it because she wanted to get out of her shithole Eastern European country. And then what happens is the money's so good, it's almost impossible to leave. And then if you go to get a job, like, where have you been the last like 5 years? You know, you get trapped, into it. And then and there you go. Your only option is like to hoard a bunch of money and move to a shithole country where that money will go far. That's it. Really, really great life, let me tell you.
Like, you could be Belle Delphine and get, like, a huge, ridiculous amount of money because you appeal to a huge demographic. But if you're in a niche, you will get pay pigs that will just dump their life savings into you because they can't find another Jordy. They can only find one Jordy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this. Let me explain this to you, Wing. It's like you get popular doing something stupid, and then that goes well for a while, and then you get unpopular, and then
You just described my whole YouTube career.
Yeah. Same thing. You're same way. I'm in the same boat you are.
Well, you see, actually, funnily enough, there is this kind of pivot, and I know you guys have talked about this before, but there's a pivot now of some of these porn stars end up going into Twitch, and they turn their Twitch into a funnel to their OnlyFans, and then they get defended like they're a streamer when they get banned for showing their titties or something, which I find absolutely insufferable. Mm.
Sure. So what is the future of rape review? Chud, where do you see this going?
Well, to be honest with you, I am very much a sort of accused advocate, I would say, when I look at these things. Obviously, if someone is fucking dealing with a kid or talking to a kid, or they've raped someone and they've gone to the police and the police have found that they've raped them, you know, I can't really do much there. Like, you've done the thing, that's real fucking bad, suffer the consequence. Mm. But so often, it is so overstated and so excessive, and the person that's getting accused is run roughshod over by the internet and not given a fair hearing. So, to be honest with you, I think that's the direction we're going. I think this Minecraft stuff, as much as Katie Bugs got kind of ridiculed for what happened and the allegation that she made, I think that the new generation that's coming through, this is what they're inheriting. They're inheriting this insane, like, psychotic sexual perspective that going to a party and getting touched, even if you're drunk and maybe didn't fully want to, is tantamount to rape and sexual assault. And I think that is going to be the future.
And when you say touch, clarify where she said she was touched initially.
Initially, she said she was touched under her shirt on a hip. And then it turned out they were cuddling, so it seemed more like a kind of move he was making, perhaps, or something. But then she later changed it to, he grabbed my breast. So
yeah,
the truth of that, who knows?
For the first allegation was
scarred for life.
even as an older man, I do not feel safe dating, and I never send like messages or dick pics or anything. Like, that's not a thing you'll ever catch me doing in this lifetime. But I can't imagine what it's like to grow up in this environment, to be like a 20-year-old man trying to get your dick wet.
There's no picture of your hog out there, Boogie.
Well, that was different, though. That was me. Cool. That is true. Yeah,
I legitimately don't send dick pics, but even I got a dick pic flying around out there.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I was talking to this like redheaded girl. Yeah, she requested it while she was half naked. So like I got it and I took a picture and I sent it to her.
Probably said she could like throw you in jail, dummy.
No. She was 23 at the time.
And were you a popular influencer at the time?
Yeah, I was. This is that. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. But regardless, like it didn't come back to bite me until 10 years later, when her brother went through her phone and found my dick pic.
I was dating an adult actress and she wanted to film content with me. And I was like, okay, you have to crop it very specifically so that you can't really tell that it's me. It's just some other fat guy, right? And so we put it up on her social media. This is back in 2018. And then Reddit figured it out. They figured out the timeline and everything. Like, you know, he was dating her during this period of time. That's probably his wiener. And so I actually got to see my trolls discussing my penis. And the top voted comment was, and I'll never forget, is they said, if that was my penis, I'd ask for my circumcision money back. I thought that was really funny.
But did you have to see your trolls talking about it, or did you seek that out?
Oh, yeah, probably I sought it out. Yeah, there was a period of time. In 2018, I was so desperate to try to control my downfall that I would read it every day.
These guys have no idea why like they keep getting trolled. So,
Judd, my question is, if you were to offer advice to somebody out there, 20-year-old man trying to get his dick wet, trying to meet his person, you got advice for them, knowing everything you've seen, what you've done?
Yeah, don't can bother. That's my advice. If you've got a channel that you value, do not mess about with any of these women on the internet. If you do it, document everything, screenshot everything, record conversations. It sounds paranoid and it sounds f***ed in the head, have to protect yourself, because these people, if it goes wrong and they feel hard done by, they will try and f*** you. You have to fucking protect yourself.
If I was a big influencer and I was dating, I wouldn't mess with anybody online. But if like I was in a bar and they or a club or something, found out about it, that's how I would use it. You know, if I was big enough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever mess with anybody online, because it's just like, you know, you're leaving a trail. And even like, you know, you see a lot of situations, I'm sure you've covered them, where guys are like it's actual two adults flirting and it gets twisted into something worse. You know? Yeah,
absolutely.
So, like, yeah, you, like, girls are kind of... I used to argue with Nick DiOrio because I grew up in a different time. I grew up when Hugh Hefner was banging a fucking 18-year-old broad every weekend, you know, and people clapped. You know, they're like, how cool is that? He's like 70, 80 years old. Well, those days are gone.
Those days are gone. You know? And I think Me Too with Harvey Weinstein, for example, was good because he was a fucking keeper, okay?
Yeah.
But it's gone way too far now. And, you know, these young lads are growing up in a world where they can't do anything. And if they do, they'll get in massive trouble and potentially completely their lives up and fuck their, you know, success and channel up. And I think it's tragic, really.
I run into women all the time. Like, women that can, like, young girls talk to me in the bar. They always just, like, I guess I'm approachable or something. The one thing they complain, I'm talking like 20-year-old, like early 30s, guys won't come up to me. They won't talk to me, you know? Which, by the way, is when you're a young guy, that's not the easiest thing to do. But once you get kind of used to it and you can deal with like a rejection or maybe some girl going off on you to show off to her friends. Once you can kind of navigate that situation, it's real easy to talk to women.
Well,
you know, but I'm thinking, I want to tell these girls when they tell me this shit, like, you see what's going on online? Of course they don't want to talk to you. You are.
Just approaching a woman. You know? Basically, women don't want to be approached at any time. I'm being, you know.
That's not true. Women do want to be approached. They do. And what happens is you get a situation, what I think happened with the George thing, the George not found thing situation happens. Like, girl gets approached. She turned the guy down. She bitches to her girlfriend. That guy approached me. He's all awkward. It was pretty super funny. That wasn't super funny. That was sexual harassment.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that happens a lot. And the girl that just told kind of a one-off story to her girlfriend, right, about a weird interaction, suddenly feels like, was I violated? Is there something wrong here? Should I go over and you should have told that guy off. You know, you did this. He victimized you in some way. And like, well, the way I saw it initially is he was just like a dork, you know, and now a dork has gone to like the next level. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, every woman at the bar wants to be approached. They just don't want to be approached by you. They want Henry Cavill probably. To walk up to them and offer him $1 million for a blowjob.
Yeah,
that's what they want.
With
they just don't want
too,
you.
Because if an ugly guy walks up to you, it's like, wait a minute. The hot guy didn't walk up. He's not interested, but you are. That like that you're insulting me. You know.
Yeah, I was trying to transition to that. Girls that want to say ooh shit, and like they only want people to approach that they want to approach them.
Yeah.
You know, my solution is get married and have kids. You don't have to deal with any dating anymore.
That's why I give different. I give drastically different dating advice than anybody else because I play the dating game on hard. You know, I'm a 400-pound man. A 400-pound man a long motherfucking time. So like, and I've always had a bird.
Yeah, both of you guys always have chicks. Yeah, I think it's why people hate you so much.
Again, it's the easiest thing in the world is to just meet as many women as you can. One of them will show you they're interested. Be nice to the one that's interested, and if there's a mutual attraction there, you'll hit it off, and that's it. That's all I've ever done.
Yeah. Listen, I'm terrified of women. I've had a number of
very.
I've had a number of very. Tricky situations with women, should we say. So I'm very happy.
Yeah. You know, tricky, like pregnancy scares or something like that? Have you had a pregnancy scare?
You're married, right? Right, John?
Tommy, no, I'm not married. What are you on about? I'm single.
He's talking about...
I've got an ex I've got kids with, but I'm not married,
no.
No. So for me, I've been there, done that. I've got the kids. So I'm quite happy just being single and, you know, looking after the kids and focusing on my...
I hate being Korea. Single. I hate it.
I couldn't do single again because my wife recently went to Mississippi for a week, and I was lonely as hell the whole week.
Yeah. I always tell myself if it doesn't work out with Desi, I'm just like done. But I mean, I said the same thing after that one girl falsely accused me of emotional abuse and all this shit. Like, I'm done. You know, I mean, and here we are 8 years later. I'm back on the horse. I'm stupid enough to where I'll just always keep seeking it. Yeah, but... hopefully, I mean, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think me and Desi are doing great. But at the end of the day, I would hope to think I have enough sense for this to be my last rodeo if it doesn't work out. Like, God, just go ahead and die alone. That's what a lot of people in Japan are doing. That's what a lot of people in the United States are doing. Like, you can see birth rates and relationship statuses and all of that shit is on the decline. And I think a lot of it's what Chud covers on his channel. It's because people are terrified of each other.
It's economics.
There's also inflation.
Hoflation. What's a
hoflation? Yeah,
red pill. Let's go.
Well, hoflation is. Think it back in the day when Tommy's daddy was out there macking hoes. He had like 6 women he could talk to in his neighborhood that were potential prospects, right?
Yeah, with the internet. Oh, I see what you're going
to say. And so now, like that, those same women, right? Instead of talking to Tommy's dad, they have 200 guys in their DMs. That they have prospects of, and that makes their self-worth go up. So, like, guys that they normally would talk to in real life, they won't give the time of day because they have so many guys competing for so many.
I think you're right.
Yeah, women control the dating market, essentially. They get to decide what's what. You know, especially with dating apps and stuff as well. The swipe right rate on Tinder, women do it at, like, a rate of, like, 10%. Men do it at a rate of 40%. Mm-hmm. You know, men are just getting buried in the dating market, unfortunately.
Hoflation.
I like that. I do want to ask a question whilst I'm here because I've always been suspicious.
Oh, please
about
do.
This.
Yeah.
So, Boogie, you had a little plagiarism drama where you plagiarized a YouTuber and, in some cases, almost word for word copied their script.
So I checked out the video, I watched it, and I was laughing during the entire thing because I was like, this is literally, he saw my video and just copied the script.
And the video from them calling you out for some reason was unlisted when I looked at it.
So yeah, he manipulated his way out of it.
So that sounds to me like there was a bit of fucking behind the scenes shit going on there that was maybe.
Oh, you know,
forced.
We both. It wasn't forced. He messaged me. I messaged him after people started tagging me with his video. And I'm like, hey, man, what do you want me to do about this? I'll be glad to take the video down or whatever. He goes, like, well, I want to know if you plagiarized me. Did you see my video? And I'm like, no. I don't look at TikTok. He goes, it's a YouTube video. I said, well, the only thing I know is somebody told me it was on TikTok and that my video sounded like your TikTok. But I don't
That sounds
look at
like
TikTok
complete
anymore.
Cap, to be honest, because I watched the video and you yeah. were like word for word in sections using the same examples that he did. I refuse to believe
yeah,
that you just came up
I would
with
say,
that.
I would say about 3% of our videos were similar. Yeah, and in one sentence, it was identical. Yeah, absolutely. But to say that a YouTuber is motivated by hope at the beginning and fear at the end is not revolutionary. That's a pretty obvious fucking thing. I spent the majority of my career terrified of losing it. Now that I've lost it, I don't really give a shit. But
can
anybody with a brain is going to think that way. Yeah, go ahead, translate.
Here's what happened. Yeah. He fucking got caught, and he went over to that guy, and he fell on his hands and knees and begged him to take it down, and he did. He felt bad for him because the guy was kind of
sluggish. No, Tommy, I will personally show you. If that guy will give me permission, I will personally show you the DMs. But that's not at all what happened.
Ah, you leaned on him. I guarantee.
Not at all.
You made
not
him
at all.
You leaned on that guy.
There were like not so many. It's off the top of my head. There were so many examples you could have picked from, but you picked the same exact examples talking about the same YouTubers, and they were fairly like obscure. For
no,
the
we talked about
making.
Vastly different YouTubers. I mean, we did talk about three of the major guys who had quit that month, obviously. But he mentioned like two guys I didn't. I mentioned like two guys he didn't. Yeah, we definitely had a different spread of YouTubers. But like Papa Meat. And some of these other YouTubers, they're like in the top 10 YouTubers who all quit at the same time. Everybody knows who MatPat is. Everybody knew that MatPat quit. So, like, obviously, we're going to include MatPat in both videos, don't you think? It's like literally.
I mean, possibly
the top
that's one explanation.
YouTubers.
The other explanation. I mean, my personal theory is that you can watch the video, and the H Bomber Guy video was popping off at the time, and you thought, "Oh, I'll tap into this plagiarism by copying this video and seeing what happens."
Wait, who's H? Who's H?
I'm not oh, give me a fucking break. Who's H Bomber Guy? Get the fuck out of here. He did a plagiarism video with like 19 million views or something stupid that he's got now. And it was massively going off at the time. You're telling me you didn't see that?
Oh, this is the... Is that the Russian Russian hacker guy?
Sure.
Yeah, he does like the kitchen reviews and stuff. That's this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's such a bad liar. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
See, I know it from the Fallout 3 sucks video. That's where I know it from.
This is the Russian hacker guy, right? Like the guy who does the fake Russian accent and all that shit, right?
No. He's like a bread tuber. Yeah. I'm sure you know what bread tube is.
Bread tube?
He's the guy that does all the guns and shoots.
No, it's not
stuff.
To do with food. It's not to do with food. It's left.
Yeah, I don't
shits.
Really. I don't really watch gun stuff.
If it's, the, if it's not on the McDonald's menu, Boogie doesn't know about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, it felt very inconvenient that in the midst of this H Bomber Guy drama, there was a plagiarism kind of discourse that popped off. Did Keemstar not tell you about it? Is that not what happened?
Did Keemstar tell me about what?
The plagiarism discourse. H Bomber Guy.
No, not at all.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. We covered it here, and I covered it on my show as well.
I slept through this shit because I didn't give a fuck about it.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about plagiarism. I don't plagiarize. I have no interest in plagiarizing, so why would I ever care, right?
Well, actually,
I can see Little Boogie like writing the fucking dictionary word for word on his book report.
But the thing I wanted to ask you guys in relation to this is I know that you guys have got these detractor channels, and they upload clips of you. And I know that there's been sort of drama with that in the past. So what's your kind of perspective on copyright and fair use of your content with these detractors?
Jordy's going to have the better and longer answer to that. But I will just go ahead and say Keemstar has gotten me into the mindset of these guys are free advertisement for the podcast now. And I'm just all for it. Like, make more videos taking me down because you almost always mention things I've said on this podcast. So you are making me money. Do it. Previously to that, it used to really bother me. Like when the Christopher Tom video that kind of started it all, where he like just basically, you know, recapped everything that was going on Reddit with me. That video was like devastating for me. I like, ooh, it was really hard, but these days I don't really care. But Jordy's got a probably much better answer.
I don't, cause mine falls into the same line. Like when it first started happening to me in 2017, I was concerned about it because like I was in a bad mental health spot. Now, channels like Breaking Bakewood and shit like that, I don't give a fuck. I actually watched some of them on stream the other day and laughed along with them. Mm-hmm. Like, but the only issue I have is I have a series of trolls that go way beyond that. And they, like, you know, people that
are, your clips are the least of your problems.
Yeah. Like, there's dudes that will, you know, be showing me like, oh, here's an AK-47. I'm coming to your house, fat boy. You know, shit like that.
Yeah.
Like those, I'm more worried about creating lone wolves than I am worried about people, you know, making fun of me because I shot a wall in a game. I don't give a fuck.
You guys got anything else for Chud?
I have a question. Like, what does Chud do? Like, is it cannibal humanoid underground dwellers like the movie?
Well,
why are you Chud?
God, it's so cringe to think about now. But nice. I used to be more of on the left side of things, and Chud was a term that came out of the left for like a retarded right winger, right? And so it was kind of the irony of Chud logic. Hey, you know, there is no such thing as a logical right winger, but I've very much changed in that perspective now, and I've got much more kind of moderate positions on things.
I do want to give another shout out to our sponsor. By the way, that link is going to be in the description box below. Opi Orange Tentacle Grape. What was the other one? The Fudanari Punch. Get in there. Get your weird weeb ass up in there and make this show a little bit of money. I'd appreciate it if you did. Even if it did dye my lips a little bit orange. Look at that. Very kissable lips. Well, let's go.
Chud, you got anything else?
I do have one more thing.
Go.
Because this has been something I've been getting into recently. The final solution to the tipster question. Okay? So, Bookie, you had some drama with Tipster recently, which I covered and found very entertaining. I'm sure you talked about it on the show.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, what are your kind of, he's kind of a fledgling lolcow, I would argue. What is your advice to Tipster as he enters lolcowdom?
I don't think he's a fledgling lolcow. I think he's been one this whole time. He was a failed gaming YouTuber. Then he became a failed right-wing drama comment creator. And now he's a failed left-wing grifter. And that's just what he is. He's failed at every step of the way. At least me and Jordy had our heyday. Tipster never even got to enjoy that. And so ultimately, if I had to give my advice to Tipster, is you now get to feast off of the scraps of your once bountiful career. My career was once bountiful, and I'm feasting on the scraps. Jordy's feasting on the scraps. But when all you have left is scraps of nothing, you're going to starve, Tipster. So I would highly recommend just moving on, friend.
No, I don't. Embrace it. Like, the thing I messed up with is I missed a huge payday. If I, as soon as I became a lolcow, if I would just went with it, I'd be $500,000 for the better probably right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
but the problem is,
I was going to say, he's pivoted now to, like, he's moved away totally from drama and just does kind of left-wing political content, which just isn't going down well. Because obviously when you try and move, you guys know, when you try and move your channel dramatically to another thing, it doesn't really go down well with the people that are subscribing.
He's also got the side effect that me and Boogie had. He's fat. People don't like fat people.
Yeah, I'm
not sure what you're saying.
That's true. Yeah.
What are you laughing for? I think he's right. I think no, sure. If you're fat, you're going to get more hate. Yeah.
Look, I'm 49.
I gain weight. People say meaner things.
I'm 49.
So I believe them.
I'm 49 years old. I'm dating a 21-year-old woman. Okay? People give me constant shit for it. Leonardo DiCaprio is 49 years old. And the last I heard, he was dating a 19-year-old girl, and no one seems to give up.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, he does get shit from the wokes on Twitter. They do complain and talk about the age gap.
Yeah, but he's Leo.
Yeah, but nobody gets to fuck about the wokes on Twitter, though. Yeah.
Well, actually, Boogie, I need to say something to you, because I've heard you complain
about
your financial plight. I've done it on stream and looked at your numbers. I'm like, why is this fat not streaming more?
Streaming?
Hey, what's going on?
He's working. He's a lazy fuck.
It comes down to the fact that I'm just sick all the time. I don't even know if we'll include this at the end, but dude, I'm on so many medications.
We will.
I sleep like 12, 14 hours a day. I try not to talk about it too much because people don't believe me to begin with. And then on top of that, they don't give a fuck because I did this to myself.
You couldn't manage 3 hours a day, three times a week.
Sure, I could, absolutely. But I'm just saying, I feel sick and exhausted all the time. And I just don't want to. Honestly, and I've been trying to come to this realization lately. Man, I'm just struggling trying to be alive right now. This last couple of weeks. Like if you can see, I'll tell you.
Just end it all. Come on, just end it all, bro. What's going on?
Well, I'm just, it's a matter of when.
You got to drop this line of conversation, Boogie. Like, dude, I stream like 3 hours a day, 6 days a week usually. And
I need to be doing it. I mean, there's no excuse for it. At the end of the day, there's no use for it. I average about $25 an hour live streaming. And anybody would kill to make $25 an hour, right? And I just need to do it. That's $75 more a day. On a good day, it's like $50 an hour, right? So that's $150 more a day. That would solve so many of my problems.
And then you got then you got your video money.
Right. I don't like, my YouTube channel made like 1.5K last month, which is still an incredible amount of money, but it's not going to make a huge, pay my medical bills this month.
$1,500.
Yeah. That's not going to pay even one medical bill right now. That's not even going to get me into my, I know it's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I'm grateful to have it.
It's not a lot of money at all. That's nothing. That doesn't pay you rent, does it? Or whatever you can pay. Dude, this is insane.
He lives down. You live.
I'm still extremely grateful for it. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, no, it's fine to be grateful for the scraps that you get. But if you can did 3 hours, three times a week, you cut that up into segments and put it on your channel as well, and that's extra ad revenue. And you could probably put in a few extra grand a month with that.
And I'm
Boogie very easily could be bringing $8,000 home.
The reality of it is, I feel like I need to get my medications correct where I'm not sick and tired all the time. I feel
Judd. Like, I'm nowhere near as popular as he is, and I would be totally grateful and totally willing to do that. But if I put that much, I don't have that much demand. And he's just like, I'm sick.
I pull over 1,000 average viewers on a 36K sub channel, right? So,
I get like 150 watching me, or maybe on a good day, 250.
But yeah, you'd probably increase if you kept doing it.
If you're consistent, more people will watch. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall here, okay?
It's just, well, you are. You. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. You really are. Like, I know there's a way out here, and the reality of it is, if I'm just being entirely genuine with you, I feel so sick and so tired all the time, and I like feeling sorry for myself about it. And that's the reality of it is, I spend so much of my day sitting in my little chair going, woe is me, I have cancer, woe is me, I have cancer, woe is me. And apparently that's how I'm going to fucking die. You know?
You know, I had somebody say to me that you're replaceable on this cast. That's not true. Thank you very much, everybody, for being a part of LolCal Live. Check out our live streams, check out all their stuff, and buy our soda. Have a good one. Good night.